After the action, it's your reaction. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards Open Line.
After all the drama and talking points and controversy, the quality, maybe the lack of quality, it really was all there on a Saturday afternoon. We turn to you and ask for your opinion, and you always deliver. So come on, 0141 951 1025 or Twitter at Clyde SSB. Rangers fans, I'm pretty sure you'll all be delighted about everything really regarding that performance at Tynecastle. So get in touch. Who stood out for you? What pleased you the most? How does this set you up for Tuesday's trip to Anfield? There was that red card shown to Cammy Devlin as well, if anyone's got thoughts on that one. Celtic fans, your wins earlier this season were all about destroying teams. This one maybe a bit more nervy, a bit more about getting over the line. So get in touch and let us know how you felt. You're probably just, you know, getting back in the car or on the train or the bus. So nice to hear that eyewitness account as well. 0141 951 1025. You add to that, Hugh, the drama in Paisley, the Ryan Porteous show in Dingwall, Derek McInnes hoping he never sets foot in Pittodrie again, and Dundee United's woes continuing. What a day it's been.
The word I'd apply to Rangers in Edinburgh, convincing. The word I'd apply to Celtic in Glasgow, unconvincing. They've lost their captain, McGregor, for next weekend's game away to St Johnstone, because with minutes left to play and Celtic 2-1 up, he was forced to take the hit, the red card hit, because Hatate almost played in Louis Moult and Callum McGregor had to take him out. And now the captain is missing. Celtic were unconvincing, missed chances, and even having had the lead twice at home, never looked as if they were home and hosed. Elsewhere, bottom three clubs are already isolated and in distress. Ross County, Kilmarnock, Dundee United. St Johnstone continued to climb the table. St Mirren, well, what can you say about a team that was apparently going to be threatened by relegation, and now, unless they're careful, might end up in Europe. So it's been a mixed bag of a day. Lots of goals, lots of excitement, and therefore lots of talking points.
Absolutely, and it's 0141 951 1025 to have your say on those talking points. Celtic fans, if you're just coming out the game, is that a worrying performance level, or is it that old cliche about winning games when you're not at your best? You always hear both sides of them. Rangers fans, you certainly were impressive and convincing, as Hugh said today. So what did you make of it in particular? Pick up the phone and let us know. That's what David's done. David's a Rangers fan. What pleased you the most, David?
What really pleased me the most today was Rangers' bounce back ability, being able to go from a team that didn't look like they could compete for the SPFL to a team that I think could genuinely get out of the group stage in the Champions League.
Wow, so all in one game you've gone from finishing second in the Premiership to progressing in the Champions League solely based on today?
Yes, I think 100%. I think that Rangers team was a Rangers team, the best Rangers team we've seen since the Europa League final, definitely, and performance-wise.
Yeah, I don't think many would argue with that last point.
No, but I think it's wild to suggest that Rangers will emerge from the group. They've played the first two matches and lost heavily. They're at Anfield next time out. Now, I know that Liverpool have started poorly and had a 3-3 draw with Brighton today. But the problem for Rangers is that Liverpool need the points. They think they should be getting out of the group stages. They need to beat Rangers midweek, and they'll have to up the level of performance. But I don't think you can read into a big win, a convincing win, an entertaining win over a poor Hearts side. I don't think you can read into that Rangers will emerge from their Champions League group.
Let's worry about the Champions League hopes next week, Gordon. For now, David also says that's the best performance since the end of last season, really. So that would be, you know, translated, that's the best performance this season. Maybe one of the best away performances under Giovanni Van Bronckhorst. Would all those things be accurate?
Well, I couldn't pick out a fault in today's display from most of the players. Even the substitutes come on, contributed as well. It was a perfect day. I thought Rangers started the game brilliantly, Gordon. I really did. I thought they set the tempo of the game. Cut his slack passes, probably put the game to bed earlier. Yes, Hearts can look and say we were poor today. I thought it was down to the fact Rangers made them look poor. With the 10 men, when they get sending off, did that change the game? Not at all. I think 11v11 Rangers were still...
Ends the game though, to be fair.
Yeah. But I think looking at the game, unless it was going to have a real twist, right? it was never going to be anything else but a Rangers victory. Mm. And I thought that Van Bronckhorst will leave Tynecastle thinking, I've had a real good weekend's work and he'll look forward to Anfield.
Yeah, is it Rangers' best performance of the season, Mark? Is that an easy answer, because the rest have been getting criticised? Yes. We go back last time, Dundee United won the game, but my goodness, the negativity on here was quite something. Is this the high point performance wise?
I think so. Pretty simple. I think that first half, even take away the sending off, the goals, the way Rangers set up to play with the two wide men. And I said at the time, you know, an assist from Kent one side, Matondo the other, your main striker scoring two, and then, you know, Morelos getting involved and Davies getting minutes. It was by far their best performance of the season for me. And I think it restores a bit of optimism about the Rangers fans. David's on there. David's
very
maybe getting a wee bit ahead of himself with the Champions League stuff. But in terms of league stuff, well, why wouldn't you be optimistic after watching that this afternoon?
David, how impressed have you been with the goal scoring of Antonio Colak?
Absolutely brilliant. Maybe I was a bit over enthusiastic, gentlemen, about the Champions League hopes. That's just to calm him down a bit. But back to Colak there. I think there's no reason that Colak can't finish top goal scorer this season in the SPFL. He's been very clinical and he'll be a key part to Rangers' success this season.
Well, you think he's the top scorer already, isn't he? Let me double check.
I couldn't contradict David on that particular point, because he's got the figures early on. He looks to be growing in confidence at a very speedy rate. And right now, if the choice is Colak or Morelos, then you're going with Colak. But today, the other point we made was that Morelos came on a hungry man. He knows he's number two. He's not happy about that. And the way he took that chance, that's a man who's saying to his boss, I have lots more to come.
I thought that was a big plus today for Rangers, Morelos coming on and scoring, Gordon, because I think he now knows he's got that challenge. Colak, his movement's brilliant in the box, you've got to say. I thought his first goal, I highlighted it a few times this afternoon. He starts the move, he carries his run. He gets a great ball in from Kent and he buries it, and he went on for a nice wee run for his second goal. He's a good goal scorer. He knows where the back of net is. Don't ask him, he's not a Morelos, don't ask him to link up and fight centre halves. He ain't going to do that. He's got to play in the shoulder, look for the scraps, get the goals. But I thought today Morelos come on, looked hungry for me, looked sharp. He could have probably scored more than one. And when he got his chance, he certainly buried it. And by the way he reacted, his celebration, he was really happy with that goal.
Colak's got this brilliant knack, Mark, you know, for talking about top scorers in the league or whatever. There would always be a school of thought where it's bound to be easier for Celtic and Rangers strikers because they dominate every game and they create the most chances. It doesn't seem like Colak needs that many chances. He seems to take most, if not all, of the chances that he gets in a game, which is a nice habit to have.
I think, you know, some of the early criticism put towards him that he wasn't doing much, like Daz was saying there, was because chances weren't coming his way. The Rangers' wide players and midfielders weren't supplying him with much clear-cut opportunities. And then he proved once that was the case, once Kent or Matondo or whoever else, Tillman or Lawrence, provided him with opportunities, he puts the ball away. He's an instinctive finisher. And, you know, that's what he was signed for. Rangers got first glance at that last year. Remember when he scored a couple against them. And if you're starting your career in this fashion, it looks like it's only going to go one way. Strikers, Daz knows, thrive off confidence, thrive off goals, and they very rarely then just, you know, put a stop to it. So he's certainly on a roll. It's a hard decision for Van Bronckhorst for midweek, who he goes for, because Morelos coming on and scoring and doing well, you know, makes a tough, tough decision for him.
Colak's got four goals in his last two games, Mark. I think he's earned the right to start.
The thing that's almost it's probably niggling away at everyone, as you maybe would have said that going into the Napoli game. Not that he had scored the four, but just that he was number one choice, and you know, he still picked Morelos. But yeah, it would be quite a statement, wouldn't it, if Alfredo Morelos suddenly came in and played?
Well, it then puts a.
But he scored two, and by two I mean also. I don't mean
well
the number.
As I say, I think it's great for any manager to have these two guys who are bursting into the team and score goals. And now he's got two, because earlier in the season he only had Colak because the manager himself said that Morelos' attitude was unacceptable. But now he's got two competitors.
Absolutely. Right, thank you to David. What about Andy from one of our big cities to the other? Andy's in Edinburgh. You must have Antonio Colak on your mind, Andy.
Aye, absolutely, mate. I thought he was brilliant again today. I'm starting to compare him to Marco Negri. I remember Marco Negri from when I was a teenager, and see, if it wasn't for this World Cup, I'd fancy this guy to get 20-odd goals before Christmas. I genuinely think this guy, and I know a lot of Rangers fans are moaning about he doesn't do enough. I don't care. He's putting the ball in the back of the net, and that's what he's paid for. End of story.
It's the nature of it, Gordon. We mentioned it before. It's not like he's getting all these chances and taking some. The first one, because of where he is and the class of Craig Gordon, it's probably a half chance, and the header leaves Craig Gordon with no chance. Then the second one, Craig Gordon does everything right. He comes out, what do they call it? Five point save or whatever the goalies do these days. And he manages to almost, I'm not saying he did this bit deliberately as such, but kind of squeeze it in the tiny wee gap under Craig Gordon's armpit. And he just knows how to get the ball into the back of the net.
Yeah, and plus the fact, I think where you've got to give the lad a lot of plaudits is his movement. His movement in the box, his timing of his movement. You can be standing there thinking, right, I've got him marked, I'm fine. And then you just glance at the ball for a second. He's on his bite, he's made that movement, and he's punished you. I'm in the camp, and I know people may disagree with this. Doesn't matter back in my day, the now, or in the future. If I'm a centre forward, I'd rather score goals than be man of match every week. I'd rather be a goal scorer. And people say, well, he doesn't contribute in the build-up play. I would rather just put the ball in the net. Because see, at the end of the day, I'm a centre forward, and I always thought my job was to score goals for the team. And Colak, as much as he is not a link-up player, he may get better at it, but he knows where the back of the net is, and that's important for a striker.
It probably comes from a place where there will be times, and whether it's when you step up a level, although Hearts are, you know, one of our best teams, but when you need sometimes you just need players to be absolutely central to what it is that you're doing as a team. That for if and when the day comes along that Colak doesn't suddenly score every chance that he's got, that's what people mean, isn't it, when they talk about having a player that really suits the style of play or helps you be better
as
a team.
Well, I think that's why Van Bronckhorst went for Morelos in the lead up, because he hadn't really been hitting the back of the net, and he had Morelos fit, and he looked at the Napoli game and thought, I can play a different game by playing the ball up to Morelos. Now, I think you go to Anfield on Tuesday night, if the two of them were fit, I would play Morelos all day long, right? If the two of them were 100% fit. But right,
how's Morelos not 100% fit?
I don't think he's at that sharpness of the pace of the game early. They're bringing him on off the bench. They've started him in Napoli. He's not had a full 90 plus minutes under his belt, really. He's worked his way back. He looks hungry. He looks fit. Now, I just think, going down to Anfield, and as much as we're all looking at this result, Brighton and Rangers fans will get carried away and thinking, right, Brighton can go there, Rangers can go there and draw or win or whatever, and it might be the case, but if you're going to get out to Anfield, you need an out ball up front.
If Morelos was fit enough to start against Napoli 2 weeks ago, and then come on today, got a good, what was it, half an hour, and scored, he's fit enough to play against Liverpool. If Colak's chosen, it's because he's number one, not because Morelos isn't fit.
Well, if he started against Napoli, which was probably one of the biggest games, he doesn't even come on against Dundee United. So it doesn't tell me he's up to speed. Because as much as you can turn around and put the argument to me that Colak was
even
the number,
at that, that was right, still 2 weeks ago as well.
Right, but what
was he done for the last fortnight?
Well, my point is, you're saying that not up to speed. If he started against Napoli, which is a massive game, right, they say, right, put him on the bench against Dundee United because Colak's the number one striker. Well, I think it's horses for the track, as I keep saying. I really do. I believe
so. It's got nothing to do with Morelos' fitness.
He'll still be saying Morelos is not up to speed in February. You're right. We're now in October.
I don't think Morelos is at the stage now that it can go for that 90 minutes.
So it's not horses for courses. Based on Morelos' fitness. So it's one or the other.
Who's to blame for that?
Morelos.
That Morelos isn't fit in October.
Hold on, we're in danger of going round in circles here. But it's either horses for courses or it's Morelos fitness. It can't be both. That's a direct contradiction. So Andy, what
save us, Andy.
Morelos coming on and scoring as well, Andy. Which how pleasing is that?
No, as much as I love the Alfie, I get what you're saying. I probably would play him if he was 100% fit at Anfield, because he's that different type of player. But domestically, I just want to win the week. I don't care about Europe. I want to win this league, and I think the boy Cholak can fire us to it.
Certainly looks like it so far, Hugh.
Well, at least Andy's an honest man. Never mind the Champions League, never mind the Diego Armando Maradona Stadium, never mind the Johan Cruyff Arena, never mind Anfield. I just want to finish above Celtic. At least the man's honest.
Yeah, but to a point. You know, you can't. When you lose 4-0 in Amsterdam, don't just shrug your shoulders at the end of the game and go, oh well, I don't care about Champions League anyway. It's just not the way it works, is it? You saw the reaction to the Ajax game.
But there'll be many supporters who agree with Andy, and many Rangers fans who will disagree with him. We'll find out. You know, Giovanni Van Bronckhorst is already on record, after being sorted out by Ajax and Napoli, as saying that Rangers just can't compete at this level. Well, on that basis, they'll lose at Anfield.
Does Robbie Nielsen say, we just can't compete with Rangers, and shrug the shoulders, and then everyone just keeps doing that? I don't really know where that gets us. How does it set you up for midweek, Andy? Is that another pleasing thing? I know you're saying that you just care about the league, and obviously you get the 3 points, but the thought of going to Anfield, had you lost today, the mood would have been grim, where it's the opposite.
No, it would have been horrible, but I'm disappointed. I missed out on a ticket for the match myself, but no, I'm looking forward to the game. It's glamorous, but listen, if we get beat, it doesn't matter to me. When somebody asks me the question at the start of every season, I just want to win the league. End of story. I just want to win the league. It's bread and butter.
Yeah, I don't think anyone doubts that, but you don't have to choose one. You know, that it's a conversation people have for fun, but nobody's making you only pick one. I think you can have a level of success.
I think things can impact on another. The result at Anfield, were it to be another 4-0 against Rangers, you're then looking at it and thinking,
Well, that's the point, isn't it? And that's why I went back to that night at Ajax. You remember, or then Napoli, it was 4-0, then 3-0. It didn't keep any of the Rangers fans warm at night to say, it's just the Champions League, because it can then impact, you know, maybe what you do going forward, or your confidence, or if that comes off the back of a league defeat.
If you keep taking hammerings, even the Cholaks of this world, and the Taverniers and the Goldsons, even they will think, every time we come up a level, we get well dealt with. So it's not good for the morale.
And for instance, Gordon, like the Ajax game seems to have done for Malik Tillman at the moment. So, it's important to, you don't have to prioritise the Champions League over the league, but you're obviously in it to try and make a good account of yourself.
100%. You look at the way Rangers went last year in the Europa League. It went round after round after round, and all of a sudden everybody was getting excited by the time they got to the final. I'm not saying by any means that Rangers will get to the final. I think they'll struggle to get out the group. But I think you've got to, if you're a Rangers or Celtic, you've got to start the season and aim to win everything you possibly can and see where it takes.
Thank you, Andy. Celtic fans, you'll be getting out the stadium now. I know it's hard to get out in these busy games, but what do you think of that match now that you are making your way home? Was it a worrying performance, or do you just have to accept that those come around every now and then in a league campaign? Let us know what you made of the talking points. Callum McGregor's red card, for instance. We'll speak to you next.
Games are over, the talking begins. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards open line.
Gordon Dalziel, Mark Wilson and Hugh Keevans are taking your calls on the day's action, and there was quite a lot of it, from Tynecastle all the way through the afternoon at Celtic Park and Paisley and Dingwall and Tannadice Pittodrie. There was so much to get through. Let's check in with Davey, who's a Celtic fan in Hamilton. How would you sum up Celtic's performance today, Davey?
All right, lads. I just feel every time Wales plays, it makes the crowd nervous just driving home for the game. Tonight, everybody always goes on the back of Starfield. He's this and he's that, but it just shows you how much we miss the Carter Vickers and Starfield partnership. Because any time Wales and Jens play together, it just makes me nervous.
Yeah, is that a fair point, Hugh?
Yeah, very much so. I think it's a major concern for Ange Postecoglou to be without Starfelt and Carter Vickers for the game against the Leipzig in Germany. Welsh, he's young, perhaps it'll get better, but he's too easily bullied.
Without being too unfair then on Stephen Welsh though, Mark, is it the combination that Davey says? Because remember, Moritz Jens was getting a bit of praise for the Celtic fans when he came in. You know, if it's one of Carter Vickers and Starfelt, mostly Carter Vickers as it's been, are you then okay to play Moritz Jens? You're then okay to play Stephen Welsh? Yeah. But when it's them both, there's maybe then that drop off.
I think so. I think it's a concern as much as that pairing isn't as good as your first choice pairing. I mean, what is? So you're always going to get a diluted version of Carter Vickers and Starfelt. I don't think it's that alarming. Look, against St Mirren, everybody was alarming. Today, well, was there a bit of nerves there? Possibly at the end of the game, maybe. But that's just natural. There's no doubt they aren't the first choice pick, but I don't think it is disastrous at this stage. And I think you're right. I think Jens with Carter Vickers or Jens with whoever else looks okay. Same with Welsh and one of them. Just two young lads, maybe no right for each other.
Because you liked Moritz Jens when he first came in, yeah, Gordon. You thought he had something to offer.
I think there's a great point made there. I think that if you stuck Carter Vickers in there, somebody with a bit of presence, probably talking all the time, organisation, I think the two players are better. I agree. I think that if you look at Celtic, if I was going up against Celtic tomorrow, I look at the front men, midfield, two full-backs are very good indeed. I would go at their centre-backs as much as I possibly could, because yeah, I think that's the weak link just now. But it's not to say that Welsh is a bad player, or Jens, I like him, but I just feel they need a strong leader in beside them.
I think overall, the last two league games, defensively, and I include Joe Hart in this, he hasn't looked convincing. The goal lost today, Juranovic and Hart, I blame Hart. However you look at it, it's a comedy goal. The captain has been sent off and will be missing next weekend at Perth against St Johnstone because Celtic were still, with minutes to go and a 2-1 lead, all over the shop.
Yeah, Davey, what about the performance level then? Some people might think it's a worrying performance level. Others would say, well, we've been really convincing already this season, and inevitably you're going to need to grind out a bit over a campaign. Which one of them rings true for you?
I might just want to say that if you look at Motherwell's performances, they've actually been playing well, right? We can't expect to show up every day and walk over teams, but you still expect a level of performance. Because everybody, since the start of the season, have been saying Celtic's second to 11 could beat any team. Oh, the squad depth's amazing, but over the last two games, it's actually proven that squad depth maybe isn't as strong as we think.
I think that's perfectly valid as well.
But the squad wasn't really rotated today, apart from the.
I think the squad depth is good. I think what Davey says, I think Celtic's setting 11 should be able to beat everybody. But I do also believe that there is times where people have off days. So I think if the team that played against St Mirren went out again, I don't think you'd see a similar performance. I think the players that were brought in that day were quality, and you still have regulars round about them as well. And the changes that were made were regulars that have come on or started previous games. So, I think the squad depth is good. I think even the people that are in the stand that don't even get a look in the bench would walk into most teams in this league. So I think there's any problem there.
Yeah, Davey, how confident are you there is a short-term thing that will turn itself around? That's two league games in a row where the performance has dipped, and you just wouldn't have seen that coming, would you, a few weeks back?
No, there's no major issue. You can't expect to play 100% every week, but you expect a level of professionalism when you come up against these teams to actually just do your job, just try and do the basics. And that's what I find when you bring in Welsh and Jens, none of them want to take leadership, and Joe Hart then gets a bit nervous with coming out for balls, because I actually sat at the side where the own goal was scored, and you can see Joe Hart, I don't think he even made the shout for Juranovic. Juranovic just try to play it back to him blind, so you know it's an own goal. Unreal.
Is that right? I mean, that's that interesting, Mark, because we did say that I feel like everything about that decision, that incident, does hinge on whether Joe Hart shouted. If Joe Hart roars and says the keeper's coming to get it and Juranovic ignores it, that's Juranovic's fault. But if Joe Hart doesn't shout, that changes everything.
Well, I suppose so. And look, the atmosphere at Celtic Park today, you would have been able to hear the shout. You know, it's not like when Rangers come, you can't hear anything. I just, look, even if Joe Hart does shout, right, I question his decision to come anyway. You know, why? He seen Juranovic was in control of the situation, so he makes something out of nothing.
Do you know why I think he came and you're talking about? I totally agree with you. A normal question. It's the way Celtic play quickly, right? If Juranovic leaves that, the way Hart's running,
yeah,
to the
he
side,
goes on to engine, he's going on it
and he's playing early. And that's the way they've been taught to play. So I think the communication has been wrong, because there's no way a goalkeeper of Joe Hart's experience is running to the position and Juranovic is chested back that way without, there's no communication there for me.
Davey, any problems with Callum McGregor's red card?
You have to do it. That's actually, that's a tackle that if he didn't make, you'd be shouting at him. Why do you always pull him down? You see it every week. You need to make that thing. You see after he was sent off, he was shouting at Greg Taylor as if to say, what are you doing? Yeah. I mean, so wasn't he angry at the red card? It's actually angry at the slack play that caused him having to do that challenge. The red card all day, you can't argue with it. Let's be honest, I take my green tinted specs, you call it off. The red card all day, but you need to do it.
Davey's
some
an
people,
honest man.
Some people will argue, Hugh. That's the way it works. But but Davey's no problem with
was
it.
Was that the game? He's an honest man. When McGregor went off, he was raging. But it wasn't because the referee had sent him off. It was because his own teammates had put him in the position where he had to take the hit.
Interesting one, because Hatate is the one that undercooks the pass, Mark. But I did hear that, you know, and well, Davey's backed it up. He was more, he seemed to be angry at Greg Taylor or someone out on that side of the pitch rather than Hitati's pass. So,
I think Taylor, is Taylor the one that passes into Hitati who then undercooks the pass? But look, Ange Postecoglou tells Celtic to play that way. He tells his players, no matter the minute, play that way. Now, Greg Taylor, any other manager, or when I played, your 90 plus minutes or whatever it was into a game, you get the ball in the fullback position, you're clipping that down the line when it's 2-1 just to run at the clock. But this Celtic team have been drilled a different way, so I get his frustrations, but it's the way they play. And look, it's as good as a goal for Celtic there, because it, I mean, when you see it back, there's an opportunity. Joe Hart, you're right, Hugh, Joe Hart's way off his line, way out of position, so it's a first time finish, and a pretty simple first time finish, I think, for Tierney.
I don't know whether Joe Hart loses concentration or it's too, for the last year it's been too simple for him. What's he doing there?
Well, listen, Davey's got no problem. He's a Celtic fan, thinks it was a red card all day long. You might disagree, Celtic fans, because that's the way it works. So if you do, it would be nice to hear the other side of the debate. Feel free, 01419511025 or Twitter at ClydeSSB. We're at that stage of a Saturday as well, where the manager's reaction will start to come in as well. So I'm looking forward to hearing what some of them had to say. Alec is also a Celtic fan on the line. How do you feel after that today, Alec?
Very, very, very relieved. The only good thing that I think came out of today's game was that Callum McGregor might get a wee rest next week, because he plays every minute of every game, and I think Ange relies far too much on him. The reason Hatate also didn't put the ball into Rosehead, he puts it into Rosehead, Motherwell are going to get a throw-in, and we cannot defend throw-ins. We've got a 6'2" keeper that can't jump. Last week, or 2 weeks ago against St Mirren, he practically threw two balls into the net. He should have got the first one. The second one, he should have been clearing. He's 6'2", he should be out, catching the ball. As Hugh said there, he was out of position again. He wants to play at half-back, the way John Clark used to play. Hatate, obviously, Callum takes one for the team, but we were very, very lucky today. And see, if Motherwell had really forced Celtic today, they would have beat them.
Problem when you've got any sort of modern attacking strategy, Mark, you cannot have it both ways. You cannot praise Celtic for winning the league and praise them for their start to this campaign, and then when you don't have a brilliant performance, say Joe Hart plays too high and they overplay. The success that they have had is built on playing that way. Yep. You can't do it. It's
yeah, It's not going to change. Under this manager, it won't change, and they will live and die by it. We've seen that in the bigger occasions where you think, right, change the way you play, show up in the Champions League. No, it's not for happening.
It poses a very interesting question next week in Perth. What will Celtic look like without Callum McGregor?
They're having a closed door game arranged for him to keep his fitness up here. But you get back,
you don't see it very often.
Yeah,
I mean certainly the in theory the options are there, because on the bench you've got Abelgaard, yeah, Moy and Turnbull.
Yep.
So I mean you've got three to take a pick from.
I'm taking the captain and his inspirational qualities out of the team, and I'm wondering who steps up to the mark. To be Callum McGregor.
So there are very few options, very few times for club nor country where you can't pick him, Gordon. And Alex says that Ange Postecoglou relies too much on him. So did Neil Lennon, so did Brendan Rodgers, yeah, so did Stevie Clark, so did Alex McLeish. You know,
yeah,
for
he's
the
such
last...
an important player, and that's why he's a captain, and that's why he's the leader. And I think he used a bit of experience today when he pulled down Moll. He knew that he was walking.
I think it was Tierney in the end. I know there was a bit of confusion.
Was it? Sorry. But I just think that the boys are right. Celtic, that's the way they play, and you're going to have mistakes, and one happened today. Hatate was never kicking the ball out of the park. He was trying to keep possession.
They also didn't have to kick the ball out of the park.
Exactly.
He just had to execute what he was doing better.
Hart plays up as a sort of a sweeper keeper, as they call it. He wants involved. You see every single time
when
he's
there, starting moves quickly, yeah, which allows you to go and beat Rangers convincingly. And nobody's complaining about it.
Yeah. Totally.
Alec, did you have any complaints about the red card for McGregor?
Oh no, 100%. If he doesn't take it, the boys, he's either got a run in and Joe Hart's away with his goal, or he can lob him. 100%. It's just a very, very poor pass at the end up, and he had to do it.
Yeah, you have to remind yourself, you know, what that offence is. We're very set in our ways, and you talk about last man, and then you start going, can Stephen Welsh come back? Is it denying a obvious goal scoring opportunity? Well, when Ross Tierney gets it, there's a still, which I generally hate still images, but for something like this, Joe Hart is outside the box, uh-huh, and he's then turning to try and scramble back the way. Stephen Welsh is a fair distance away. So whether it's last man or not, it's not important. Is it an obvious goal scoring opportunity?
In a single movement, Tierney could have chipped the goalkeeper. Don't need to advance terribly far. He could have chipped the goalkeeper right there and then, because Joe Hart goes wandering. So it was a red card without doubt, and Callum McGregor's anger going off was with his teammates and not with the referee.
Thank you, Alec. What a result for St Mirren. They were pegged back late on. They were down to 10 men, and then they went up the other end and scored a winner. Livingston missed a penalty as well. Here's what Stephen Robinson made of it.
Yeah, listen, character. I think the one word that is character. It was it certainly wasn't an attractive game of football. The wind and the conditions didn't help. Livingston make it like that, and they're very, very good at it. But we matched them. We out-battled them as well, which is very, very rare. And when we went 1-0 up, I thought when they missed the penalty with 10 men, I was very confident we wouldn't concede a goal, because we work on it so much. We work a lot of games where we play with a man less. That's the only disappointing bit about the game in terms of conceding the goal, but what character to come back again. And certainly we know that we can play well every week, you can pass the ball well every week, but you can work your socks off every week and you can give absolutely everything. That's what the group of boys give me every single week. We were in two minds about taking Keanu off or leaving him on at that stage, because he's obviously been halfway around the world. So, and then Flinney comes on and adds that wee bit of quality and nous that he's provided throughout the squad, you know, and he's been fantastic with the younger boys. Sometimes when people aren't playing, they don't get the credit, but in terms of driving boys, you know, him and Richard Tate and Joe Shaughnessy have been fantastic professionals, so it's important to acknowledge that. But yeah, we grounded out. It wasn't attractive, but if you're going to stay in the top six, then you've got to win games like that there and dig points in.
St Mirren fans, how good does that feel? 0141 951 1025. I'm sure there's a lot of more interesting stuff to come from the managers today. I'm very keen to hear what some of them made of today's performances, so we'll do that and take more calls next.
After they play, you have your say. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards open line.
We're on the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Hugh Keevans, Mark Wilson and Gordon Dalziel, looking back on a busy day in Scottish football. I mean, we heard Stephen Robinson just before the break. Character, Hugh, is what he said, and it'd be hard to to grudge him that assessment when they were down to 10 men, pegged back, conceded a penalty, and still went on to win the game.
Third place, St Mirren in third place. You know, even Stephen Robinson in his quieter moments must be thinking, wow. So good luck to them, but they've got to keep it going.
In terms of who's not having a good time, Liam Fox, permanent manager now of Dundee United. They lost at home to St Johnstone.
Really disappointed. Always difficult when you come into another at half time. The goals that we conceded were poor. That's every goal you concede is poor. But a few individual errors, and that gives you a mountain to climb. 2-0 down at any SPL game is difficult. So yeah, disappointed. I thought we actually started the game okay. I would like us to be a bit more ruthless, like shots at goal, more crosses in the box, give the fans something to cheer about, hopefully bring them with us. But when you lose two goals like that in the first half, everybody's the position we're in at the moment, and not having the league win yet, everybody is a wee bit nervous and a wee bit edgy. So listen, we're going to have to overcome that, and we've got a big game against Aberdeen next week. So listen, you can look at any goal and you can pinpoint usually three or four things that are wrong. First goal especially is one ball over the top. So listen, like I said, we've got plenty to work on, plenty we need to improve on. We need to improve on quickly, and that is the plan.
A 5-point gap between the bottom three and the rest. Ross County are 10th, they're 5 points behind Motherwell, who are in 9th, and Killy a point worse off than County, and Dundee United bottom, 2 points, winless.
I can't think of anything positive to say about Dundee United right now. They are toiling, 2 points out of a possible 24. Nothing going right for them. Tony Watt at least got a goal today, which is only his second since joining the club, but on and off the park they are a toiling institution.
Let's bring in Ange Postecoglou, as if he's on the phone.
Yeah. Hi Ange.
How's it going? Ange from Australia. These are his post-match thoughts, of course, speaking to Andrew McLean and others.
It should have been a lot more comfortable than it was. Started well. We in the first half, we created some really good opportunities. Unlucky with a couple hitting the post, obviously, but we had some good chances. We're usually pretty good at putting away. We just lack that sort of clinical edge that we usually have, which, sort of doesn't reflect, I think, our dominance in the game. And then we give them a goal, which gives them some encouragement. And then, we had to work hard second half. Again, generally not too bad, but we just, again, lack some clinical edge. Scored a good goal, and then again sort of lost a bit of concentration towards the end there, which, disappointing for Cal that he had to get the red card. He's taken one for the team. Not sure it was a red card. It looked like we had a covering player, but the referee was in a better position, so you got to cop it. So but disappointing for him.
Would you appeal that, Ange?
At the moment, I've got to have a look at it. I've got to have a look at it. Like I said, from where I was, but that's, I don't have the greatest angle because I'm furthest away, but it definitely looked like, I think it was Josip or somebody was coming around there, but we'll have a look at it. These things happen in football, you kind of know, and invariably they happen when, it's a game like today. It never happens when you're, 4 or 5 up, but that's just, they're human beings, mate. As much as I'd love to control them while they do that FIFA stuff, you need to let them be human beings. They're going to make mistakes.
The appeals panel would need to come from the Green Brigade for Callum McGregor to get off with that one. So nice try, Ange, but he did admit he was a fair distance away. So Callum took one for the team, no doubt.
Yeah, it wasn't quite an Ange Postecoglou slams red card decision, Gordon. No. Did you say he wasn't sure it was a red and he'd see it again, all that sort of stuff?
Yeah, and I'm sure when he sees it again and sits down and looks over Gordon, I think I'll agree the referee got the right call. I agree with him. I think if you look at the overall picture, if Celtic aren't beating teams 3 and 4, everybody thinks, oh, we weren't at it today.
Let me sort of stop you there, just so that we don't steal Paul and Mary Hill's thunder. I think he'll make a similar point, and okay, we'll take a look at some of the other incidents. Paul, is that fair? Were you about to try and maybe put a bit more of a positive spin on things than your previous Celtic fans who'd been on?
I say that, and I think Andy sort of stole what I was. Look, see, we gave them a goal today that was completely our own doing, some terrible defending. But see by that, and obviously McGregor at the end, Motherwell haven't had a sniff, and Celtic have hit the post twice, or the bar. We missed an open goal, it looked like, at one side, Kyogo, 1-1. And one of the ones that came back off the post, Kyogo, had a great chance with a header, and we scored two goals. So I wouldn't really record a single Motherwell chance, whereas Celtic have recorded 7 or 8 chances. And I feel, just listening to some Celtic fans calling in, some people in the panel, as if it's been a disaster today. When although it wasn't great, I don't think it was terrible or anything to panic about. Just need to be more clinical, in my opinion.
Is that the point you were going on to make, Gordon?
100%. I look at the fact that Celtic, yeah, the minute they don't rack up 3 and 4 goals, it's, oh, hold on a minute here. They hit the bar, they hit the post, they missed a few chances.
Kyogo's is a bit of a sitter, the header, yeah, and then yeah. McGregor probably should do better, yeah, when he fires over.
Yeah, the game could have been well by Motherwell before, obviously, Juranovic and Joe Hart decided to give them a friendly welcome with a goal. And then what happens is Motherwell have got a bit of confidence, they've got something to hang on to, they make it difficult, they're well organised, but... I was going to say during the show, the only way Motherwell get anything out of the game if they had to score a next goal. And if they don't score a next goal, I wasn't expecting this to finish 1-1. I think Celtic had it in them today, where it was, you know, got over a line 2-1. But I wouldn't be panicking if I was a Celtic supporter because it wasn't 3 or 4. The chances were still there.
Yeah, I mean, Mark, if I go and pick up these claret and amber tinted specs, you say, but Motherwell had Celtic rattled and Callum McGregor had to pull... Ross Tierney back. That's how much, you know, they're clinging on at the end, sort of thing. But even I then would have to admit, you can obviously look at it the way Paul is and say, you know, on any other day, the Celtic concede that goal? Probably no. Not. Yeah. And then they're a lick of paint away from both those long range strikes going in. Does Kyogo miss that one? You know, so.
Yeah. McGregor's chance in the first half.
I would reluctantly admit that you can definitely appreciate where Paul's coming from.
Yeah, of course, when it's not your day, and how many times have we heard that, it's not a team's day because they're hitting the bar? Well, as long as you get the all-important goal, Celtic got that 2-1. Motherwell very rarely threatened, maybe a couple of set pieces in the second half. But like, you're going to get that over the course of a league season. You're never going to get a team that is going to batter every single team at home 3-4-5-0 without having any challenge or having a wee bit of an off days. Celtic weren't at the sparkling best today, no doubt about it. Jota wasn't at his sparkling best. Maeda, go through the lot of them, but they still scored when it mattered. And did they come under pressure? Well, in the last few seconds, of course, because it was a real goal scoring opportunity. But again, I don't think it's anything to be concerned about. There will be days like that for both Celtic and Rangers coming forward, so I don't think it's a big concern for Postecoglou.
Let's hear what Stevie Hamill made of it.
Well, coming away disappointed, I feel frustrated a little bit. I felt especially latter part of the game we could have, you know, been a bit better. We posed some threats there, but just in the big moments and the big chances and the fine details when you come to places like this need to be better, and I feel like that was kind of difference. Of course they're going to have possession and things like that, but we don't want to hold out. That was the message before. We understand what we're up against in terms of the opposition, the stand, the crowd, the occasion, but we needed to stand up to that and be better than that. I felt we did that for parts of the game, but you know, just those little bits towards the end, you know, we could have been a little bit more clinical or a little bit tidier in our play, and we could easily be coming away with something here, I feel. It's a good red card for their point of view, I feel. A bit Ross Tierney's in, for sure, he's in. You know, I think Joe Hart's in a bit of no man's land as well, where he's not sure. So, yeah, we you know, I feel like whenever we stress them or press properly and we get after the ball side, you know, we caused them problems, you know. But again, we've come away with the plan here was to come away with something, and we've not. So, yeah, that's where the disappointment comes from.
I was just about to get some closing thoughts from Paul, and he's gone, which is understandable because I've gone and played that clip. But quickly then, why don't we do Derek McInnes, because it was a real tough day for him, back to Pittodrie and losing heavily.
Yeah, I think it is fine margins. I was pleased to a point. You know, we've banged on all week and we've spoke to the players about Aberdeen are a really strong counter-attacking team, as good as counter-attacking team there is in the league. You know, Jim's brought a lot of speed to the team, and we're disappointed in the manner of the first goal because we just allowed ourselves to be a bit too stretched and they took full advantage of it. So we're disappointed because I thought we'd two or three chances to deal with that. I'm more disappointed particularly with the second goal, because we're still heads still scrambled for the first goal, when I think it was a blow for us after, you know, competing well enough in the first half, and I felt that the second goal isn't good enough. You know, when you lose a goal in quick succession like that, it just drains the life out of you. And I think from kick off we give the ball away and we're not quite set, and the second goal was a run through. I thought it was a soft penalty. I'm not going to hide behind here sitting here and saying it wasn't a penalty. My first thought, and having seen it again, I think Miofsky maybe goes into my goalkeeper and it's rather than a challenge, but listen, it was untidy, it was scruffy for us. We've got to deal with it better.
And that's us, Hugh. Sum it all up for us then. It's been quite the day.
At 12:30 Celtic were on top of the league table. At 2:30 Rangers were on top of the league table. At 5:00 Celtic were back at the top of the table. And the third force in Scottish football was St Mirren. I've really enjoyed my day out.
It's been great. It has been great to get the Scottish domestic football back. On what a day it was. Rangers fans delighted with the 4-0 win at Tynecastle, and understandably so, onto Anfield of all places. Celtic maybe not at their sparkling best, but top, as Hugh says, with a 2-1 victory over Motherwell with Callum McGregor sent off. St Mirren, the third force, as Hugh Keevans is calling them, a great character shown, according to Stephen Robinson, 2-1 against Livy. Ryan Porteous inspires Hibs in Dingwall. It's not a good start to life under Liam Fox for Dundee United, as St Johnstone win there, and easy street for Aberdeen against Kilmarnock. We will look back on it all on Monday night from 6:00, so make sure you don't miss it. You would be crazy to, and get your weekend truly up and running with George Bowie and the GBX next.